Well, good morning, everyone. It is my privilege to be here with you today. As Cassidy mentioned, my name is Prince Thomas, and I just want to say thank you to all of you for the incredible hospitality and the warm welcome that you've extended to my family and I over the last several days that we had the chance to candidate here at Circle. I know that Pastor Bob and the team here has just done a tremendous job over the last 3 years of guiding you through this transition process. And as I candidate today and over this weekend, I'm just really, really grateful for the opportunity to share what God has placed on my heart. And so before we get into the word, I just want to make mention that after the service, there will be an opportunity for a Q&A, and I will share more about my journey and story and invite you all to stay and to hear more about that. So before we get into all of that, would you just bow your heads with me as I pray? Jesus, we are so grateful for you. We are thankful for the love that you show us, and we are grateful for the opportunity that we have to reflect your love to the world around us. And I ask and I pray right now that as we unpack your word, that you will speak the words clearly to us that you want us to receive. I ask that, Jesus, that you will give me clarity of thought as I share your word, and may my meditation of my mind and the words of my mouth be acceptable in your sight. And I pray for everyone who is listening, whether online or in the room, that they will hear from you today. In your name I pray, amen. Have you ever wondered about what your favorite love story might be? It could be from a movie, a book, or perhaps the story of how your parents and your grandparents came together to become a couple. For some of you, it might even be your own special love story that has left a mark. Because there's something about us as people that we are truly captivated when we hear love stories. No matter the era or the culture, through songs and movies and weddings and anniversaries and even reality shows about people coming together through a search process, so to speak, there's something about love that appeals to us. Because at our core, to be a human being is to want to receive love and to give love. We crave connections because we want to feel truly seen and to be known and to be valued. And sometimes certain love stories stick with us for a really long time. And my most memorable romantic love story began under a shady mango tree in the Caribbean. It was a warm day, it was a breezy day, and I was at school sitting on the mango tree, not that one, but one kind of like it. And when I was sitting under there that morning, I saw an incredibly beautiful woman who was a friend of mine walking towards me. And in that moment, I remember thinking to myself that, wow, she's really beautiful. And something happened that has never happened before or since, what I describe as a strong impression from the Holy Spirit telling me, almost through an audible voice, that this will be your wife. To this day, I look back upon that moment and I smile. But there was one complication that was throwing off this prophecy that I might have received. She was interested in someone else, not me. So I had to wait, not for a week, not for a month, but for 2 long years. And then in 2009, if you are a certain age, that feels like yesterday. If you are younger, that feels like ancient past. But in 2009, everything changed. Back then, I was studying at a school in upstate New York, and while studying there, I decided one night to give my friend a call on Skype. So that's the era that we're living. This was before Zoom. And after 2 long years, I finally mustered up the courage to say 3 words. I like you. I didn't jump to love. I said, I like you. At first, she did not believe me. She thought I was joking. And so she reached out to my best friend, and he told her, you know what? He has always liked you, and this may be the first time you are finding out, but I've had to hear about it for an incredibly long time. And looking back, after 2 years, she actually became interested. She said, you know, I think we can do this, but there's one thing that you need to do. You must meet with my pastor's wife. If you don't meet with my pastor's wife, you won't have the stamp of approval. So when I got back home to Antigua in the Christmas break, I met with the pastor's wife, and wouldn't you know that when we got to this random, not a random parking lot, but it was a parking lot of a mall, and no one else was there, she hopped out of my vehicle, went into the front seat, and joined her pastor's wife and left me at the back by myself and just stared at me as the pastor's wife asked me questions. So she abandoned me to be interrogated. And during that moment, the pastor's wife looked back and said, "Marissa, I sense transparency." And I thought, "Oh, you're wrong." But she gave us the stamp of approval. And that afternoon began our relationship. And if you can't tell, I'm talking about my wife, Marissa, and I's relationship. Eventually, we got engaged and we tied the knot and we moved to Canada. And we were blessed with a son by the name of Caius. And even after all these years, when I think back about that story that began under a mango tree, it is truly my favorite romantic story. But honestly, it's not the most impactful love story that I've ever experienced. The greatest love story that you and I will ever know is the story of Jesus Christ himself. It is the magnificent story of a God who chose to come into our world rather than staying distant from us. Jesus stepped into the brokenness of humanity and into a world with open hands. He welcomed those others might have overlooked. He showed compassion to those who were hurting, and he served selflessly, forgave generously, and ultimately he gave his life so that you and I could find salvation. And through his resurrection, we have hope to be reconciled to God. And even the most wonderful love stories that we as human beings can tell, written by the most proficient authors, pale in comparison to the love that Jesus extends to us. And so, when we want to talk about what it means to love, the person whom we should look to most is Jesus. We should pay attention to what he has to say about love, because scripture defines him as love. And so that's exactly what we're going to be doing today. And in John 15, Jesus talks about love during a very integral moment in his life. It's the last evening before he was going to be arrested and eventually crucified. And the woman and the men who were traveling with him for many years, sharing meals, watching him heal others, and listening to his teachings, and centering their lives around him, we're going to have everything change. And Jesus knew that the cross was just hours away. So when he spoke about love, he wasn't just speaking theoretically. He was defining something practically that he was going to exemplify for human history. Because everything about love is tied back to Jesus. And then among his final instructions, Jesus reminds his followers, both then and now, with these words: "This is my command, love each other." This invites us to reflect on what kind of love is Jesus talking about in this passage. It is not about just simply being friendly or being nice or being kind. He's calling us to something far more meaningful, far more impactful. Earlier in the same conversation, Jesus said, "This is my commandment, love each other in the same way I have loved you." This is the standard of Christian love. As we have been loved, we are to love. AKA, we are to love like Jesus. It's one of the most beautiful things that has been inspiring about your congregation as I've prayed and wrestled with a potential call to serve here. Your vision statement is beautifully invitational and accessible. Love like Jesus. And when we think about what Christianity is all about, it's not about knowing facts about Jesus, it's about becoming more like him. And one of the ways that we can know that we are becoming more like Jesus is when we see signs of his love shaping our character and when it influences the way we live our lives. So this morning, I want us to think together about the question, what does it really look like to love like Jesus? And as we explore the scriptures together, we're going to spend most of our time in John's gospel. And I want to encourage us to think about loving like Jesus in three ways. And here's the first. We love like Jesus by being incarnational. And now I know that incarnational is a theological term that many of us don't use every single day. But the idea behind it is quite approachable. Being incarnational means opening up ourselves to truly connect with other people and meeting them right where they are. We see this perfectly embodied in Jesus Christ himself. From the very beginning of John's gospel, in John chapter 1, we're told that the Word, who is Jesus, existed from the beginning of time, even before the world was created. And he was already a part of the story of the foundation of the world. And he was with God, and in fact, he himself is God. And all of creation has its roots in him.
He brings life to all things, and the Gospel of John makes it clear that Jesus was a light piercing into the darkness to extinguish it. He incarnated himself amongst us. And John, he takes time before he shares with what Jesus will do to tell us who Jesus is. And he shares something truly extraordinary. So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. As we reflect on those words, I want us to think about what it's actually saying. The creator of the universe, the creator of all things, stepped into our world. The God who could have chosen to stay distant because of our sinfulness and brokenness chose to step into our circumstances to become like us while being fully God. He felt hunger and tiredness. He knew friendship and he knew social rejection. He celebrated at weddings and he mourned at gravesides. He sat at tables and walked on dusty roads. He listened to questions and I'm sure he asked them as well. And he shared in pain and he experienced pain too. And that said, I need to make it clear as we're talking about the incarnational love that you and I are invited to exhibit, that it is a special form of incarnation that only Jesus himself will share. We don't personally have the privilege of being the eternal Son of God who came into the world through a virgin. That is exclusive to Jesus himself. But still, the way of Jesus' incarnation models for us what it means to have a pattern to love people. Jesus took initiative to come to us. And his love now encourages us and compels us to go across whatever barriers exist to share that love with other people so that they too can come to know his love. That is what we mean by incarnational love. Being willing to step into someone else's world rather than staying in our own world. We reach out by learning people's names, listening to their stories, and truly becoming able to understand what they're going through. We genuinely care about what is impacting their lives. And as relationships grow, we look for ways that we can reflect the same love of Jesus right to them so that they can find hope and grace. You see, Jesus didn't wait for us to come to him because we never could. He came to us first. And if we want to be a community that loves like Jesus continually, we need to be bold enough, brave enough, to move towards other people with open hearts and arms. While incarnational love might sound overly theological, many Christians have found ways to really live it out in practice simply. They've asked themselves, what if instead of just inviting people into our world, we made an effort to step into other people's worlds? This thoughtful question has led to many movements amongst Christians around the world, and one that I have been really inspired by is Move In. Believers in this movement choose to move into neighborhoods facing challenges like poverty and cultural differences and having limited Christian influence. And what makes it special is that they just don't go for a weekend. They live their lives there. They serve people, and they learn to make neighbors their friends. They live in the same apartment buildings in the same community, and their children play with the children in the society as well at the same parks. They shop at the same stores and they frequent the same coffee shops, and they slowly start learning more about the people who live around them. And over time, something truly wonderful happens. Those people in the community who they once would have viewed as statistics now become their friends. The newcomer to Canada who's trying to learn what it is like to live in minus 40 weather in Saskatchewan has the capacity to experience the grace of Jesus through a Christian friend who buys them a coat. The child who may be showing signs of being troubled experiences grace so transformative by being welcomed into a family where they play games together and show love to each other that their life begins to turn around. The family facing a crisis down the hall realizes that I can call and knock on that door and someone will open up because Jesus' love is being exemplified there. And someone who has experienced the depth of love that is available in a community that lives like this is a woman named Kathy. Kathy was a move-in participant who once lived in Toronto. And Kathy has mentioned that the people that she did life with in these communities our friends, not just random neighbors. So their burdens became our burdens, and which they had the opportunity to lay at the feet of Jesus. My new friends here at Circle, we are committed to loving like Jesus. And for us to do that, we want to develop a heart posture that says, the burdens of the people who exist around us will be the burdens that we ourselves will feel, and that we will bring them to Jesus with the knowledge that he has the power and he's willing to break into these circumstances to relieve the people of the burdens that they face so that they can know the depth of his love, similar to how you and I have experienced it as well. So I want you to think today about the question, how can I show love to the people God has placed around me? Take a moment to think about that. How can we show the love of Jesus that we have received to the people in the different communities that you live in? Whether you're on the west side of the South Saskatchewan River or the east side, I'm learning. You have a chance to show the love of Jesus in a really meaningful way. And as you're thinking about that, I want you to remember that these people are created in God's beautiful image, just like you. And they have fears and questions and hopes just like you. And loving like Jesus means being willing to ask even a simple question like, how are you doing? How can I help you? Tell me about yourself. And truly listening to what they have to say, not just to respond, but a willingness to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to you so that you can be prompted to share the love of Jesus with them. The pastor and the author, Pete Scazzaro, beautifully explains this approach when he wrote, to incarnate to love people well, we must enter another's world, hold on to ourselves, and live in the tension between two worlds. Scazzaro's words beautifully captures the essence of Christian incarnational love. Entering someone else's world does not mean that we give up on our Christian convictions. It does not mean that we release our faith. Rather, what it means is that we hold close to Jesus and we hold close to the love that he has caused us to experience, and we stay true to what we believe while lending a hand so that other people can receive that love and experience that conviction in their hearts as well too. So, Jesus showed us love by drawing close to us, and we will love like Jesus as we draw close to other people. And the second thing I want us to observe about what it means to love like Jesus today is we love by being sacrificial. Let's focus again on John 15. Jesus said, this is my commandment, love each other in the same way I have loved you. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friend. You are my friends if you do what I command. Remember again the timing of these words. This was shared in what scripture has been called as the farewell discourse. John 14 to 17. Jesus was about to approach the cross. And he is not speaking about laying down one's life in an abstract way. He's essentially defining for his followers what he was about to do for them and for us. He was going to lay down his life to make us experience true friendship in a way that will surpass all of our understanding. And Jesus says to us that the same sacrificial love that we have received from him that blesses us, we are to extend to others so that we can bless them. It may not always be through grand experiences, but it is through small, meaningful acts of kindness where we can demonstrate this. To really emphasize this, I want us to read 1 John 3:18, which says, dear children, let us not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions. This verse reminds us that sacrificial love means offering something meaningful for the benefit of other people at an expense to ourselves. This could mean in how we spend our time, handle our finances, or use our resources for the benefit of other people. Sometimes it might ask for us to sacrifice our comfort and our convenience or even our pride, because there is something more important than any of that. It's the salvation of men and women who need to come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And anything that gets in the way of that being exemplified and lived out in our life must be sacrificed so Jesus Christ can be glorified amongst us. It is through his grace that we are able to love like Jesus sacrificially. And as you think about that, I want you to think about the person who may have invested in you when you came to know Jesus. Many of us have stories of pastors and friends who came alongside us and said, hey, I see something in you and I want you to grow as a mature believer. And those individuals invested time that you and I may not have always seen. They spent hours probably studying lessons and preparing meals so that they could invite us into our home. They sacrificed probably time with their own families to make you a part of their family. And the invitation that we have is, what are you and I willing to do today to love like Jesus sacrificially in the same way that we have experienced it? Maybe God might be compelling you today to show love to a new believer by saying, hey, come to my house tonight and we can have a coffee. Maybe it's coming along someone to say, I recognize that there's a need and I want to help. And there's nothing that you have to do in return. I've received much from Jesus and I want to give you some of what I've been blessed with. Because the reality is, people won't just believe that we love like Jesus because we have it plastered on our website or anything like that. They will believe that we love like Jesus when they experience us sacrificing things for them, and they will feel it deep within their core of their beings. That is the opportunity that we have. And I want to focus now on the third way that we can love like Jesus, and it's being universal. And when I say universal, all I simply mean that no one is beyond the limits of the love of God. No one is left out. And I'm not speaking about universalism that says that everyone will be saved at the end of time. I don't believe that to be true in Scripture. What Scripture shows us is that the love of God reaches out to the whole world, and the invitation of the gospel is extended to everyone. We often see this most commonly in the Bible's most well-known verse, John 3:16. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. We know this verse well, but I want us to think about two words in this verse that are interconnected, and they are world and everyone. And to help with the context, we would remember that Jesus spoke these words when he was having a conversation with a religious leader named Nicodemus. And Nicodemus came to him asking, hey, how can one find eternal life? And Jesus said, you have to be born again through the Spirit. And then Jesus opens up an intimate dialogue that he's having with Nicodemus to extend it to all people. And he uses the word cosmos in the Greek. And all it essentially means that all of creation, everyone is included in the love that Jesus has. And so if you and I are called to be people who represent Christ, and we have received that form of universal love that is inclusive, that extends to everyone, we should extend that same love to all people. Jesus gives us the opportunity to be his friend, and he wants other people to become his friend through us. Reading again from John 15, I no longer call you slaves, because a master does not confide in his slaves. Now you are my friends, since I've told you everything the Father told me. You didn't choose me, I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask using my name. Jesus here was speaking directly to his followers. And he wasn't suggesting that everyone automatically would become his friend. He's saying that those who have placed their faith in him through following him will be granted that privilege. That means the skeptic that may be in your classroom in university has the opportunity to become a friend of Jesus. That means the challenging co-worker who you spend so much time potentially praying for God to fill you with grace to extend to them can experience the grace of God in their lives and come to be transformed by his love. We cannot predict ever who will accept God's love that is extended to them. So we should be careful to love universally. I love the way the author and speaker Christine Kane puts it. Every person is worthy of our love regardless of their beliefs, actions, or attitudes, because God sees them as lovable and redeemable by his grace. So circle, drive a lion's church. We can have significant differences amongst people around us. We can stand firm in our beliefs, but those beliefs should not be an excuse to treat people as though they're beyond grace. Since the gospel is truly for everyone, we must be compelled to show love to everyone. And that means we keep praying for real relationships so that we can have an opportunity to share the grace of Jesus Christ with them. Trust in the Holy Spirit to guide us with the words. And that is what I mean when I say everyone has the potential to be a friend of Jesus Christ. So today, we have explored three ways that Jesus demonstrates his love to us, that we have the opportunity to demonstrate to other people. And when that love starts to shine through in a church community, loving like Jesus naturally becomes a cherished part of our identity that we continually express. As I mentioned earlier on, I developed the confidence to share with my wife, Marissa, that I liked her on Skype. I didn't tell you what filled me with the confidence, and you're going to judge me because it's going to make me sound like I was a little bit of a coward, but whatever. That year, my New York Yankees won the World Series. Yes, I'm a Yankee fan, and I don't apologize for that. I told myself I'd be authentic, even though I'm in a Canadian prairie preaching. I am a Yankee fan. I'm not going to give that up. I'm willing to be a Rough Riders fan. I will embrace that. But not the Yankees. I'm not giving that up for the Blue Jays. And the thing about being a Yankee fan is that you have a rich history that your franchise has experienced. They are legendary players and unforgettable moments and championship victories, and they even heartbreaking losses. And generations of fans and players carry the story forward that future fans embrace. And what makes a legacy meaningful is not just the past, it's the opportunity to build upon it. And Circle Drive, what has really drawn me to give deep consideration about serving as your lead pastor, is one of the things is your wonderful legacy where many men and women have come to know Jesus through this church. I've heard about the powerful times of revival that God has used your church to see Stonebridge and Saskatoon and even wider parts of Canada come to know the love of Jesus in a real way. And we celebrate that rich history and legacy gratefully. But what it also means is that we do not want to stop based on what happened in the past. We want to invite God through what he's doing in the world to work through us so that the legacy of Circle Drive Alliance Church continues to go forward. Where people in this generation will look back and say, do you remember the 2020s when God moved so powerfully across Saskatchewan that men and women came to know Jesus powerfully through this church? And one of the ways that we will do that is through loving like Jesus. We will experience a transformation of a revival spreading across this land when we lay down every single thing within us and say, Jesus, we want to love like you so that men and women can experience great revival in their lives. And that is the opportunity that we have. The legacy that has existed is an opportunity to be built upon so that we can do great things for the gospel, not for our name or fame, but for the name and glory of Jesus Christ and him alone, and that is why we have been planted here. So, Circle Drive Alliance Church, in John 15:9, we read these words. Jesus said, I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. And the impact that we will make in this generation and in this time is going to be possible by us staying in connection to the vine, who will produce much fruit in us. And so, if you're here today and you have not experienced the love of Jesus, but you want to love like him, the first step is simply to accept his grace, to know his love, and to place your faith in Jesus. I know at the end of the service there will be a prayer team who would love nothing more than to pray with you to experience salvation today. And if you're a follower of Jesus, my prayer for you is that you will have holy courage to be able to place yourself in a place where you're willing to show people love incarnationally by going out intentionally, that you will be sacrificial, and that you will also be universal in the love that you exhibit. And as we do that, men and women will say that this community sure does love like Jesus.
Would you all pray with me at this time? Jesus, we are so grateful for you. We thank you for the love that you have shown us. We recognize that the love that you have shown us, we will never truly understand. But we have received it. And because of that, we are so excited to follow you. And we want to show that same love to other people so that they themselves can experience the same transformation in their lives. So I ask right now, dear God, that if there are any people in this room today who do not know you or are online, and they want to place their faith in you, that right now that you will allow them to have such a strong sense of your all-powerful, all-surpassing love, dear Jesus, being exhibited towards them. And may they pray something simple like this. Lord Jesus, I recognize that I need you. I've tried to live my life apart from you, and it is not going as I intended. I've sinned many times, but I receive your grace, and I ask that you will cleanse me and purify me and make me more like you today. God, I pray for the believers in the room. I ask, dear Jesus, that you will fill them all with so much boldness to exhibit the love of Jesus in this community and in this great city and in this great province and in this great country, so that your name will be made continually glorious for all people. Help us to love like Jesus now and forevermore at Circle Drive Alliance Church. Amen. God bless you.